Call from the Doll on Kerry Today with John Downing.
The particular matter that I want to raise here today is the relationship between our economy and public services. And to say last count, Corla, how confident I am and how certain I am that whatever progress we have made in recent years in our economy, which I believe is real, to say that progress will only be built and further improved by the Taoiseach as Minister for Finance. But as he is doing that, I would ask that he would keep one public service in particular in mind, and that is our libraries. I'm very proud of the investment that we have made through our local authorities in recent years in the funding of and the opening of new libraries. They are cradles of decency, they are beacons of light in a world in which things are changing so much. And we should be proud that we are in a country that values them, that invests them, that recognises the value of reading, that recognises the value of a place that offers both solitude and community at the same time.
I never quite thought last concord that there'd be a day where Pascal would ask me to spend more money. But it did come on his final day. And I really want to thank you, Pascal, Deputy Donoghue, for this question. And it's so fitting on your last day in Dáil Éireann that you're talking to us about borrowing, but now about borrowing books instead of borrowing money.
Yeah, there you go, John Downing. That's Pascal Donoghue with his final plea as he leaves for a position in the World Bank. A big reader, reads lots of books, reads all the time, and urging Simon Harris to spend a bit more money on our libraries. What do you make of it? What do you make of his decision, and what's the level of shock or otherwise in Leinster House this week?
Well, I think it was always going to end like that. It was very clear he would have made a very good Taoiseach. He didn't want it. So he was, I think, he has been cited in relation to a number of international jobs, like the one he got. He's been talked about to go and work for the European Investment Bank in Luxembourg, to go for the European Central Bank in Frankfurt, and other various other options. So I don't think there's a huge surprise. He has for a long time said he wasn't interested in leading Fine Gael. A very interesting development. A man I have personally huge regard for. I knew him first when he came into the Senate, and he's been the same, you know. He's the same courteous person who never got above himself. I think it's brilliant that he's going on to a big international and influential job, and I think he'll bring an Irish perspective to it and a European perspective, and I think that's very important. And I think it is good. It's huge money and prestige and all of that, but I think at its core there's an important job to be done. And I think he'd be very good in that position. And I think it will be beneficial for Ireland and Europe in the longer term.
How negative an issue is it, though, for this coalition government and particularly, I suppose, the Fine Gael party? A loss of experience, a loss of a leader at the centre of it all. And how high are the eyebrows raised, if I can put it that way, at Simon Harris's decision to take the job himself?
Well, very high indeed. I think he has it all to do to prove that he is a Minister for Finance. We are heading into very difficult times. I shudder to use the comparison with 2008 and the last crash, but it took us such a long time to get out of it. And in upcoming difficult challenges, there are a number of things that we will see. The windfall from corporate taxes, we'll see that tail off. We won't have the record low interest rates, world interest rates that we had, which helped Ireland tremendously emerge from recession. So I'm quite fearful that Simon Harris is clearly a very good politician and clearly has been quite able on some fronts. Whether he has the economic smarts and the ability to say no to people, because that is a big part of the money bags ministers mind the till. And
there's already a queue lining up for extra budget overruns that need to be sorted for this year. So he'll have all of them knocking on his door. He's doing that while still being leader of the party. He's just done a whole cabinet reshuffle on the Fine Gael side of things. He's also the Taoiseach. And there's a question of how long he'll be Minister for Finance. Like, will he be Taoiseach and Minister for Finance? That's never happened before in the history of the state.
No, and that's not going to happen. That, I mean, if that, I expect, there'll be 2 years to run on the current arrangement. He will then, all going well, become Taoiseach. This time 2 years, in which case we'll have a Fianna Fáil Minister for Finance and a Fine Gael Minister for Public Expenditure. So he can't, that won't happen. But what's going to happen in the next 2 years, really? You know, we have all of the issues economically, all the storm clouds in an era of Trump, Putin, and all of the challenges that brings us. So there is certainly, I see merit in the criticism that taking the job of finance minister, it certainly makes him more bulletproof to any challenges to his party leadership. So... you know, it just doesn't seem right here and now. But
yeah, John, you know, I was going to say, does it say something about, like, and there was, you know, there's been a play made about, oh, this is a power grab. He's staving off, you know, possible future attacks to his leadership position. If he puts someone as Minister of Finance, it elevates them. Is that what's going on, or is it a question of I don't know a lack of talent? At that level, like I was looking at, and I kind of got surprised when I looked at the rundown of Fine Gael TDs when this was first announced, to say, right, who could move, who might move from cabinet. There was talk of Peter Brook, but I looked at the lineup of Fine Gael TDs. There's a lot of new ones. I kind of had forgotten how many Fine Gael seasoned, experienced TDs stood down at the last election and were replaced in some part by first timers. So is there a bit of a deficit there, a little bit of lack of experience within the Fine Gael parliamentary party, or is that unfair?
No, I think that's just a simple fact of life. There is a lack of seasoned people who have, you know, some experience of government and certainly more experience of being at Leinster House, you know, learning the ropes. I felt Peter Burke would have been a better fit. I think he's temperamentally rather like Pascal Donoghue. I'm sure a lot of your listeners would be going, well, who's Peter Burke? Fine Gael TD, relatively new also, in fairness, but Fine Gael TD from Longford, up around Mullingar, Westmeath, up around Mullingar.
Westmeath, yeah.
And he's... he has some government experience, temperamentally very like Pascal, not a showboater, not attracted by limelight for limelight's sake. And I think he would have been a better fit, but that's just my view. I mean, the decision is made.
We'll have to see,
and
John.
We'll go on.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens with Pascal Donoghue, but his plea for the libraries, it just stick to the books, read a book a day and you'll end up earning 600 grand at the top of the World Bank.
Yeah. It, well, you know, I mean, there's certainly, I'm a lifelong reader, many of us are, and there's great enjoyment to be had as well as everything else.
There certainly is. Okay, John, stay with us. We're going to talk more about what happens now electorally with the by-elections. Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, was in Kerry on Monday. We'll get to that and other things after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling. Collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
No, John, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin was in Kerry on Monday to open the new building and developments at Kerry Airport. And he told me during an interview he's very comfortable. I asked him, how comfortable are you being leader of Fianna Fáil at the moment, given that there was interviews at the weekend with James Dawes saying, yeah, someday I'd like to lead Fianna Fáil. And he's got the review of the presidential debacle coming in December. And Ivan Yates appeared before the media committee this week. That keeps the story kind of bubbling along, talking about his media training. But he seemed like he was okay with everything. Has it all died down, or where does it go from here?
It's just not very public, but it hasn't gone away. 48 Fianna Fáil TDs, not happy in themselves, the backbenchers particularly. Jim O'Callaghan, the putative replacement, is not stoking it. There is no evidence that he's stirring things up. But on the other hand, he hasn't done it much to put it to bed either. So the question of Micheál Martin's leadership remains live. A general election will happen at latest 2029. I do not see Micheál Martin being leader at that point. The real question is, can he calm things down and decide his own exit timetable? Or, is he going to have to suffer the indignity of being forced out? I think that's still in play. I think it will go into the new year and we'll see and hear more about it. As you say, it will be important to see what this review of the debacle, the complete botch that was made and that Micheál Martin authored, really, in the presidential election. A huge body blow to the Fianna Fáil party, raising questions about his ongoing political judgment.
Yeah, indeed. He was at Kerry Airport, but then he went back to Dáil Éireann and got involved in another spat with Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, telling her to cop on. She accused him of mansplaining things to her. Plenty of needle is always there. And we're seeing a bit of that here in Kerry, John, with maybe the Healy Rays added into the mix. Pre-election, Michael Healy Ray kind of launched an attack on Sinn Féin, said he was not happy with their negative stances. Now, since then, he's gone on to be in government, be a minister. There's no love lost now at every turn. And we saw that play out again this week between himself and Pat Daly, or the Healy Rays and Pat Daly. Pat Daly didn't show for the Kerry Airport announcement. I had him on the programme asking about that. He kind of said, look, these things are government publicity events. And he was criticised by Jackie Healy-Rae for being critical of the airport for not having enough Irish language signing. But it just got me thinking about that element. Now, Pat Daly's in a difficult enough position. The one opposition TDs in Kerry with two ministers, a junior and a senior, and four government supporting TDs. So maybe that's part of what is going on. But what do you think about that dynamic and how it's going to play out, John?
And certainly we're going to see far more. We also saw very ill-tempered exchanges with Piers Doherty on the offensive. Again, about he was going on about the energy credit, this money we all got to help pay the ESB bills previously, which we're not getting in the coming year. We're going to see the intensity of those exchanges build up. Pat Daly's situation, yes, you're quite right. Of five, he's the only one not on the government side in Kerry right now. A strange decision not to attend the opening of Kerry Airport. Of course, there's an element of PR and hype from the government side, but it's a very important development for Kerry, for the Southwest generally. And I think the government, look, it was a whole week of brickbats for the government. I think it's important to remind people that positive things are happening, that beneficial things are happening, and that politics does work sometimes. A strange decision by him. The timing, while I agree, as an Irish speaker myself, bilingual signage is important. It's also the law And I was in Belfast recently. I mean, if the new railway station, there has been a row about, you know, Irish language signage, it is the law. You'll find it in Wales, you'll find it in Scotland. But the timing of it probably, and combined with Pardelli's absence, is, you know, not great, really, you know.
It was pointed, John. And it just, like, normally the opposition, all right, you're not there to celebrate the government, but you're there to celebrate. It's not the way things were done before now by other opposition. So maybe is it the sign of things to come? Non-cooperation, all-out war between either side.
I was checking round on this, and I haven't heard, that level anymore. In actual fact, it's usually the opposite. It's usually a point where opposition TDs complain if they're excluded from situations like a minister visiting a constituency or something like that. I've seen that occur a lot of times. So this is a strange development, and it will be interesting to watch where it goes from here.
Certainly will, John. Okay, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us again this week and filling us in on events in Dáil Éireann and beyond. That's John Downing of the Irish Independent with Call from the Dáil. Get your comments into us. We've more on the way.